I know that you have great ambition and dreams for your life, and you're thinking about how can I formulate the best future possible. But what if the rest of your life, when God wanted to use you in a supernatural way, you are available for those moments? You couldn't produce it on your own. You couldn't force God's hand. But at least in building your tomorrows and your future, if God wanted to use you to do something that he really needed to get done, you had postured yourself to be there. How much grander would the adventure of life be once you finish your life and you step into eternity and you said, oh, I'm in heaven. I'm so glad I chose to live a supernatural life. That's what this teaching on the gift and the person of the Holy Spirit is all about. Are you ready? Because God has such ambitions for your tomorrows. First week we studied about Jesus talking about the person of the Holy Spirit, the invisible realm of God. So much interest in the world today about what's out there in the invisible. Look at what's on your TV menu. It's all paranormal, super spiritual, and people want to know, what is the invisible like? And in week one we talked about how Jesus leveraged his credibility to say, you want to get to know the person of the Holy Spirit, John 14, because he is just like me. I'm going to give you another advocate, comforter, just like me. Week two, we talked about how the Holy Spirit, whose first name is Holy, which means he is holy together. Sometimes we're not holy together. He is holy together. He is perfectly emotionally healthy, that when we yield our life to his tutorage, we have a friend who walks with us moment by moment, who is together. Don't you like friends that have it together? And so the Holy Spirit, first name Holy, is the emotional, perfect, walk with you friend that you can grow yourself in every dimension because he's got it all together. And then last week we moved into an introductory on the gifts of the Spirit, and we talked about revelation gifts. But today we are going to talk about gifts of the Spirit. As I mentioned earlier, gifts of the Spirit are when droplets of the kingdom. Now, you live in a fallen world, and this is not the world God intended. God intended Adam and Eve's world, and free will messed that up, and now we're living in this realm where fallen humanity is maneuvering with a devil, but the kingdom of God is among us. So as a Christian, you have one foot on the real earth. Everybody say real earth. But one foot already in heaven. We are citizens of earth and citizens of heaven. And the gifts of the Spirit are condensed time when God's sovereignty and rule kind of opens up and drops into this fallen world. So here you are doing your thing and you're at work, you're building your career, and all of a sudden God wants something delivered. And since you've been open to the person of the Holy Spirit, he says, oh, I have that delivery agent to do my work. So you think about the gifts, the revelation gifts. We talked about the gift last week of wisdom, and the gift of the word of knowledge, and the gift of discernments of spirit. That's when the wisdom of God supersedes our natural wisdom for a particular moment. And you're in this zone where you're talking to people that are hurting, but God's coming through you with wisdom. God's coming through you with knowledge. And God's giving you discernment. And God's will is really strong in that moment. It doesn't last forever. It's too strong. You couldn't take it. But you're in that place. Believe me, you want to live here. That's why you're planted on the earth, to seek first the kingdom and to release the kingdom. But today, we're not talking about revelation gifts. We're going to look at the other gifts of the Spirit. I need to move real rapidly because at the end of this teaching, I want to tell you what I feel, and a little commentary on what I feel about our area and our community.
You need to hear it. So I'm going to have to move rapidly. But I want to talk about today the vocal gifts, because the vocal gifts, God wants to use you in vocal gifts. Vocal gifts, if you'll look at the definition, involve a time when the Holy Spirit comes over words that you say, and there is a presence of God that interweaves your sentence structures that you know is beyond you. Have you ever had a time in your life when you were talking and it's almost like God came in and just wove into your sentences and you said, whoa, that was from heaven? Well, when you get there, you are moving into a place where vocal gifts are flowing in your life, and your family needs that. Your world needs you to live in a place where God can interrupt and weave into what you say. How many of you have ever been here and you say, man, somebody said something to me, and I just felt that was from the Lord? Wave your hand at me. You just felt like, I would hope that when you hear a good Bible preacher teach, that you have a lot of things get in yours that said, man, that was just from God for me. I hope you're already feeling that right now. I hope you're already feeling, this message is for me. I want to live a supernatural life, okay? But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 8, and let's look over these nine gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's love language is giving gifts. He wants to give you gifts. If you don't want them, well, feel sorry for you. But let's look at those nine gifts right now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 8, and we're looking for vocal gifts, okay? So let's scan down there. And I see, do y'all see a vocal gift? If you see one, tell me right there on the text. I'm looking for them right now. Come on, somebody say it. Let's go to the next slide. Maybe, okay, the verbal gifts start coming up. The gift of prophecy, the gift of speaking in tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. There's a lot of places where you go to hear the Bible talk, and they don't talk about this very much. But these verbal gifts are important. Let's also look at, see if we may have to back up at the power gifts, because there's three other gifts that we're going to talk about at the end of this message. And if we'll go back to the previous 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 8, the gift of faith, the gift of healings, and the working of miracles. I want to tell you this. Live your Christian journey. If you're not a faith person of following Christ, please, we want you to meet Jesus today or anytime. But Jesus Christ is not yesterday's news. The things of the Bible are not some ancient chapter that's got dust on it, it's antiquated. Hear what I say, and the spirit of prophecy is on my mouth right now. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what you read in the book of Acts that took place is still taking place in the world today. So let's go and let's talk about this gift of prophecy, the first listed in these vocal gifts. What is the gift of prophecy? If you'll read about it, you will find it is a God-inspired message that comes to an individual that is delivered to another individual or a group of individuals. So you need to get it's from God to man, it's intelligible, it's understandable, you get it, and it makes a difference, okay? So, when a spirit of prophecy comes upon you, the gift of the Spirit, or comes towards you, it's from the Lord, it's to a person, to you, or to another person. Now, you don't have to doubt if the spirit of prophecy is appropriate or right are genuine, because 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 3, gives us three prerequisites for a spirit of prophecy being true. They have what this person, and a person who would give you a word of prophecy, usually they don't come out, I want to prophesy to you. It's more of natural than that. It's like you're going through something. And this person is highly potent in their devotional life and their prayer life. And God, this person knows that they're available for God to speak through them. And they're not saying, hey, hang on, God's about to give me something for you. Now, some people may operate that way, but you don't have to. It's just very natural. But when it comes to you, let me tell you what 1 Corinthians 14 and 3 says is going to happen. After that sentence is over, this is what's going to happen. These three words. You are going to be built up. You are going to be encouraged. You are going to be comforted. You're going to be going, whoa, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to fight. In fact, I don't have the chapter in reference. Dig it out for your own self. But 1 Timothy chapter, read 1 Timothy. You know what? Timothy's a young man, and he's like you, and he's trying to build his way. And when he really said yes to God, they laid hands on him, and there were some prophecies over his life. And so Paul writes back to him and says, hey, Paul, hey, Timothy, remember those prophecies you had when you were a young man? Now he says this, don't direct your whole future and build your whole career over those prophecies. That's not what prophecies are for. Somebody give you a kind of encouraging word in the Lord, a spiritual word, and you stop everything you do and you just do whatever that prophet or that person said. No. Everybody say no. No. I'm not trying to tell you to say amen. I'm just saying no. You do not allow a prophecy to dictate everything you do. But Paul said these prophecies come for one reason, not for you to construct your entire future, but that you may fight a better warfare. So, you're moving in God's will, you're getting humbled, you're tender, you want to get into a spiritual enriched atmosphere, you're meeting some godly friends, you got a godly mentor that's speaking into your life, you want to be a supernatural person, and all these prophecies come to you, and so what you do is when all hell comes against you, and doubt comes against you, and unbelief comes against you, and fatigue comes against you, what happens is you recall these prophecies that were comforting, building, edifying, and you say, wait a second, greater is he that's within me than this attack that's coming on me, and you pull up these words and you go to war for the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. I remember when I was 15 years of age, I was young, and I was wanting God. I had family members that had gone the other way, and didn't work, and I was 15, and we had a prayer gathering one time. And you need to go to prayer gatherings because they're spirit-enriched with the gifts. And you know, we have an 11 o'clock prayer gathering here on Wednesday. We're moving toward a prayer gathering on Saturday night. I'm on Wednesday night once a month. And we really need that. It's in the works, and it's really our heart. Well, I was at a prayer gathering, and this person came up to me. And what they began to say, you could just tell the words were spirit heavenly enriched. So much so that my mother wrote them down and put them in the back of my Bible. Said something to do like, you know, the Lord was pleased with my heart after him and the purity of my life up to that point. And then he made a statement. And I didn't think anything about it. Years went by. And I found myself on a go trip. Our kind of go trip. It wasn't Vietnam. It wasn't Costa Rica, it was San Salvador, El Salvador. And that day, I'd been out playing little cassette tapes to people and talking to people in little dusty roads and open sewage. And at the end of that first night of the gold trip, I woke up and I went to the back of my Bible and I reread what my mother had written. Now I'm 21, when I was 15, some 6 years. And it said that if I would be faithful to the Lord, he would use my voice to bring his love to the nations. And as I read that night, I thought, I don't know if I'll ever share the gospel on foreign soil again. But today, this word a prophecy of encouragement that came to me when I was 15 is real. It's powerful. And I'm going to take it and I'm going to run with it. And it builds my life. Can you say praise the Lord for that? So it builds your confidence in your walk. And since then, by God's grace, I've been able to take His love to many countries for His glory and teach in seminaries and places around the world. So you don't want to shut the gifts of the Spirit off. Now, I want you to notice 1 Corinthians 14 and 1, and I really want you to get this because this is where it all falls apart. You know, we read 1 Corinthians, and we have these chapter breaks, but it's 1 Corinthians 12 talking about the gifts, and then it talks about the love in 13, and then it talks about the gifts more in chapter 14. Those chapter breaks are not in Paul's letter. So what Paul is saying, I want gifts saturated in love. If it's not just baptized in love, wrong, just do a. It's not. So he's writing about the gifts, and then he talks about, I don't care how super spiritual you think, and you can speak in tongues of men and angels, but if you're not just saturated in love, you are not being used of the kingdom like you need to be. Give you a little context about the church of Corinth. All the early churches were spirit-filled churches, charismatic churches. They were, and they were operating in order. Spiritual gifts were operated in order. And because Paul talks and references miracles in the epistles, and if you'll read the book of Acts, and see what was happening in Ephesus and Antioch and Philippi and all these places. Miracles and signs and wonders and the gifts of the Spirit were taking in those places, in those churches and community in the book of Acts. So they were spiritual churches. And of all the churches in the first century, it was the church at Corinth that was having problems. And you know what we do in the contemporary church? We act like that the church at Corinth was the only charismatic, spirit-filled church and it just brings trouble. No! All of them were working in power and supernatural order. Only one church was out of whack, and they had a lot of problems. Paul wrote to them, said, there's division among you. I mean, somebody wants Peter, and somebody's following Apollos, and somebody's following. Forget that. It's God that causes the increase. And then they had problems with their love feasts. They would have these big fellowship dinners, and it was like us against you, and wasn't very hospitable, and people weren't really welcome. I hope you feel welcome here. I want to be a part of your world. I would love to be a part of your world, and you don't even have any idea of the richness of relationships that are waiting for you if you'll kick the tires here at Chapel Hill and let us make a difference in speaking in a light into your life and you into ours. But they weren't doing that. They'd have these fellowship dinners, and they were separated. They were also like acting real super spiritual and speaking in tongues all over the place and then allowing incest to take place and a guy sleeping with his stepmom and like not dealing with that. And besides that, they didn't really appreciate Paul's ministry. And Paul says, this is what you got to do. You got to operate in love, because you can't be this hyper super spiritual person and not live in the real world. I want you. That's what Corinthians is all about. You need to be supernatural, but there's some things in this everyday life that you got to bring the supernatural down to the dust of the earth. They were wanting woo, 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 and not deal with the everyday in a godly, loving manner. And look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 1. It says, deal in love. It's the path of love. Romans 5 and 5 says, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's been given unto us. So the person of the Holy Spirit is just a saturating in the love of God, and then the gifts come. But let's move on down. And so in this context of love, in this context of we want to be supernatural, but we want to be naturally supernatural. We want to be supernatural, and we want to do earthly endeavor in a supernatural way. He comes on and he talks about another gift. The first vocal gift was the gift of prophecy. Do y'all remember the three things a prophecy has to be? The next verbal gift is the gift of speaking in tongues. We believe that here. In fact, I would encourage you not to let anyone tell you that that's not a powerful spiritual dynamic that's available. In fact, I would challenge you to come up to me and name me one spiritual personality in the New Testament that you know of that was a leader or influencer for the Lord that did not speak in tongues and not have a prayer language. Name me one. You say, well, John the Baptist. Yeah, he was filled with the Holy Spirit as a baby. Man, he was like charismatic before he ever saw his first sunrise. What about Peter? Spoke in tongues. What about John? Spoke in tongues. What about Mary, the mother of Jesus? She spoke in tongues. So if you've been in a culture or a church or a ministry that says that is not a part of your growth and your next step, we love those churches. We celebrate them. But here, we embrace and believe in the gifts of the Spirit. But there's no gift of the Holy Spirit more misunderstood than the gift of speaking in other tongues. So lean in just for a moment. And what I want you to know is, here's the question that you would ask, I would imagine. When you read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, and you hear about the gift of speaking in tongues, you might say, is that the same as your spiritual prayer language that we see taking place in hungry believers all over the book of Acts? Yes and no. The prayer language that's talked about, we're going to talk about that next week. Don't miss it. You really need to be here. Is a personal, private prayer language that's available for all believers. Say, all believers.
All believers.
We'll talk about that next week. The gift of speaking in tongues is more of a utterance for a prayer gathering, not merely the private devotion and edifying of the individual. And there has to be some protocol or some direction for the verbal gifts of speaking in tongues. I'm probably here right now, and there's probably every one of you in this room have been in some place where sincere Christians were gathering, and somebody gave a mess in tongues, or you heard somebody speak in tongues, and it scared you. It's all right. So that's good. Go ahead. Yeah. Well, if you haven't, I have, and I'm the preacher. It scared me. What? I didn't know where it's coming from. And so Paul is really clear. These people, like I said, they didn't have their walk together. They were in this super spiritual realm. They were almost, they felt like they were almost talking in angel talk to each other. And Paul has to bring correction. And I'm so glad he did, or we wouldn't know what to know and understand about praying in spirit now. As a prophecy is from God to a person to another person, the Bible is clear. A message in tongues is from God to the person back to God. When a person speaks in a heavenly language, he is not praying to men that they would understand, but he is praying to God. When you pray in your spiritual language, most likely it is vertical. Read what Peter and 120 were saying when they were speaking in tongues in Acts chapter 2. You might want to read that. And you know, it tells us what they were saying. Because all these people at the perimeter mall, I mean, there in Jerusalem, heard them speaking in their own language. And you know what they heard them saying? They heard them saying, the marvelous works of God. So when you're praying in your private spiritual language, you are declaring, though you don't even know it all, the marvelous workings of God. Does that excite you? Does that thrill you that you could have a private prayer time when the things that God is going to do and is about to intervene and you're just releasing that and you're praising Him for that? I want to pray in the Holy Spirit a lot on a personal realm. But we're talking about the public declaration of tongues. And Paul says this, that follow the way of love, and you need to know this. A tongue in a public prayer meeting, a public prayer gathering, or any place, has to be followed with an interpretation. It's just biblical protocol. And you'll look at this. Tongues plus an interpretation can have the same effect as a prophecy. See, a prophecy edifies, encourages, and builds. A mess in tongues without an interpretation would not do any of those things. It would be confusing. No one would understand it. But a mess in tongues, probably more vertical than horizontal, would also encourage the house, build the house, edify the house. And the Bible goes on to say, if you'll look at 1 Corinthians 14:22, that the message in tongues is really not for believers. Are you a believer? It's for unbelievers. And it's almost like this is what needs to happen. When someone out there that's been watching, give me a name of a Netflix show about mysticism or out there, or come on, y'all know them, tell me some of them. Some paranoid, come on, don't act like you're so spiritual, you don't know what those are. Okay, whatever that was. So these people are watching all these Netflix shows about what's next, look what's coming on NBC, it's this spiritual realm, it's just watch out there, you know, hey, you know, that's our culture. And then they come into a house, a prayer meeting, and they see someone or they hear someone pray in a message, the gift comes and they speak in, and they hear the interpretation. The Bible says that person that doesn't know the Lord should go, whoa, God is in the house. It's almost like a powerful altar call. And if it's not producing that, then it needs to be monitored. That's what it is. For an unbeliever to say, God is in the house. People who don't know the Lord can feel when God's around. Somebody say amen to that. I mean, can you remember some times when you weren't where you need to be, but you got into a place and it was going, whoa! There's something life-giving at that place. So that message in tongues must be life-giving. Now, I want to move on because I really want to get to this commentary at the end of this thing. When there is a message in tongues, there must be an interpretation. In fact, the Bible says, if we can see the slide up there, that if you were to give a message in tongues, it is your duty to be willing to interpret it if nobody else does. So if you ever feel prompted to be used in the gift this way, to give a message in tongues, don't give a message in tongues and go like, okay, I hope somebody else will interpret this thing. No, maybe they will. Probably they will if you've really been moved of God to do that. I've been used in this way, I know. But you can't take over and to have a part of somebody's time and dictate the flow of that gathering if you're not willing to give the interpretation yourself. So what you should do is when you pray in your spiritual language from time to time, you ought to say, Lord, give me the gift of interpretation of what I was praying in my prayer language. Now, if you're totally foreign to having a prayer component of your prayer language, come next week. You want to learn more about this powerful part of every Christian's privilege. But it's very important that we take a moment right now and talk about protocol for being used at the gifts. Because I want Cindy, you're here today, and I just want you to know, I love you and Pastor Dave's willingness to lead and found a mega church. God has done so much here. But for you to say, we want a church where the gifts of the Spirit, Pastor Dave, is in operation, you hardly ever hear that of churches of 3,000 or more. But here is the protocol of Chapel Hill. It's always been Chapel Hill's protocol, but you may have known it. So here it is. I want you to hear it. I've got it on paper if you want to see it. And you, if you've been using the gifts, then you really want to look at it. In fact, I want you to see this, okay? But the first thing, if you feel prompted to give a word of prophecy, what you want to do is because everybody's the building up of this church is so important. We're going to ask you to put that prophecy on paper. If I was you, I would make sure it's encouraging, it's comforting, and it's building. You say, well, I can't put it on paper. I got to declare it. You know, every prophecy you've ever read in the Bible was put on paper. Oh, that's quenching the spirit if I have to write it. Really? Tell Joel that. Because there's a spiritual responsibility for me, Pastor Dave, or what other campus pastor, to protect whoever releases a word. We're not going to let nonsense come here, but we want God. Now, I'm going to say that again. We don't want a circus, but we want God in the house. We don't want a circus, but come on, give the Lord a hand. We don't want a circus, but we want God. So the pastors at the front row will take that prophecy, and if they feel like that it fits into the flow and it's appropriate, we will share it with the church. We will share it with the church. Now, I'm going to tell you, we're only going to listen to people who are in our church. We're not going to let strangers come in. We're not going to let some unknown. And I'm telling you, you better be walking with God if you're going to come up here and give me a sheet of paper telling me what we need to tell everybody. Because you don't want us to be doing our best to honor Jesus, and we want a supernatural house, and we don't want to limit the miracles of God, but we're just open to any whatever that comes in off the street. You don't want that. But you do want signs and wonders, and you do want miracles, and you do want a supernatural God to show up strong in our midst. And I will say this, this is not even a protocol. You may consider yourself a faithful member at the Dunwoody campus. You probably can't go to Douglasville or Bremen or even Atlanta and go up there and think that they're going to give room if they don't know you. Okay? I can just see Pastor Jamal. Now, who are you? But here, it's a different story. You better believe I'm watching your development and your formation, and oh, how I want the gifts of the Spirit to flow in your life. And so then we move on down. We move on down to the second thing, and that is if you have a message in tongues. The Bible says this, that everything must be done in a fitting and an orderly way. And as a spiritual leader of this house, if you feel like you have a message in tongues, remember, come if you have the faith to also interpret it. Because if you give a message, you say, Pastor, I really feel like I need to give a message in tongues, and there's no interpretation, I will ask you to interpret it. Now, I'm not doing that to scare you like you never do it. I'm just saying everything must be done in an orderly and a fitting way. Amen? And then at the appropriate time, I will ask you to honor the Lord. Maybe right then, it may be later on, but then we'll honor the Lord. Are y'all enjoying this? Do you think it's the way it ought to be? Okay. Not a circus, but we want signs and wonders. You say, I don't want to go to church where they let that happen. What? Do you want to go to church where people's sick bodies get healed? Amen. Yes, you do. Do you want to go to a church where miracles take place? Yes, you do. And what happens is when we tell the Holy Spirit, we'll take the healing, but we don't want the other things, we offend the Holy Spirit. So we've got to be open to all the gifts and do them in an appropriate way. So that message in tongues will and that interpretation will be given at appropriate time as the lead pastor or the campus pastor orchestrates it or allows you to do that. But if it doesn't happen, and they don't call on you when you feel like, oh, I've got this burning in my heart, don't be offended. Because it's not about you and me or anybody else. When you flow in the gifts, you're only the postman, the delivery agent. And you did everything you can. And if I don't let you do it, though I'm going to do everything I can to be tender to that, but I don't feel like it's a fit at this time, I'm the one that'll be judged. Not you. But look what we're doing. We got a mega church in need of signs and wonders, and we're not saying, Holy Spirit, we're too cool for you. We're saying we're people that are hurting and needy, and we need miracles. We need prophecy. We need message of encouragement. We need you to come in and wow the unbelievers. We need you to heal us. We need faith. And we go on to the other gifts, and I won't preach them. I'll just mention them. But it's the gift. Those are the verbal gifts. You've got the gift of prophecy and the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation. The gift of interpretation is not a direct translation, but it is a interpretation. It's a paraphrase of what was said in the Spirit. And it is so important in public worship, not so much in your private worship. And then there's three other power gifts, which is the gift of faith. Real quickly, the gift of faith is when, it's not the saving faith, because God's given every man a measure of saving faith, but it's that time in your life, and young entrepreneur, you'll need this, when the gift of faith comes upon you from heaven, because you've opened yourself up to the supernatural, and it's like, you know it's going to get done. You know, and I'm speaking to my little cute blonde here, got another one in Dallas, but here's the one I'm talking to. It's big, it's monumental, it's a mountain. And somewhere out of heaven, God comes down and says, I am big enough. I'm the same God that got you through yesterday and showed myself strong. And I am the God that is going to get you through the tediousness of these exams and this test. So bow your back and study more and celebrate when it happens, and the gift of faith will carry you through. The gifts of healing, it's plural. Many gifts of the healing, the gifts, plural, of healing. There's places where the healing of your sins by the blood of Jesus, the healings of your emotional hurts are healed with the help of the Holy Spirit, because He's holy and He has His help. He's all together. And the physical body, don't you want to go to a church where the Holy Spirit can say, I am free to heal there? And then there's the gift of miracles, which is divine heavy-duty activity, where you're just getting a God zone. Sometimes, a miracle has to be this thing which is totally, could never happen in scientific measure, and God does that. But the gift of miracles are not confined to some atheistic little a formula that says it's not a miracle if it could ever happen in the natural realm. You look at a lot of the miracles in the Bible, and they were things that happened in nature, but they happened so quickly by the miracle of God. So the miracles of God, and I want you to be a Christian who lives with signs and wonders and miracles and not live your whole life. Well, I wanted to be a supernatural Christian, but it just never happened. Notice, build antennas when you're in a highly enriched God zone. I hope you feel that right now. I hope you feel this session in God's Word. It's like, wow, this is intriguing. Now, is there anything weird about what we've just done? Jesus said in John 14, greater works than these shall you do, because I'm going to the Father. John 14. Now, was he lying? I'm going to the Father, direct reference to, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and you're going to live your life, and some of you are not going to just be satisfied. We're sitting on the bench, some little nominal Christian going through the... Some of you out there are going to open up your life to availability of the gifts of the Spirit. Next week's a real starter for this. And you know what? Even greater things than what you've seen me do is going to be spread around the world, because I'm going to have millions out there releasing and flowing in little condensed droplets of the kingdom. Here's the commentary. You say, where are the miracles today? I want you to listen in. Because I think, personally, you're strategically placed. I believe God has designed you to be here. And Cindy, I think Gayla and my family is here for what I'm about to say. If you want to know where there's intense signs and wonders and miracles, it's always on the, what I want to call, the band of the apostolic edge of where the gospel's going to the nations. You get with a missionary, and he takes the gospel to a place where it's never been, and it's enriched with the gifts of the Spirit. Once the gospel permeates that area, seem like there's not as many as obvious gifts of the Spirit, because the nations are being reached, and that nation has been reached a lot. But you go to the foreign field, and you go to where they haven't heard the gospel, and read the Bible. It's the gospel is accompanied by signs and wonders to the nations. Are you following me? My commentary is, there's about to be a greater release of miracles to Dunwoody, Georgia. Because we are starting to have that international band of people who need Jesus from all over the world come to your neighborhood. And so you're here for a reason, sir. You're here for a reason, ma'am. It's because these people who are Hindu, these people who are postmodern, these people who are Buddhist and Muslim, they need to share some space with you where a gift of the Spirit, not in a weird way, comes from the throne to you, to them. So they'll say at the food court, wow, God is in this place. So that's why Chapel Hill wants to be a Spirit-enriched ministry, because the nations are come. Walk around. We're in an international zone that He could be glorified. Does that ring true to you? And I want to tell you right now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, I'm here. I'm just barely hanging in spiritually, and I don't even like my own spiritual condition. And you're trying to tell me that I'm going to have God interrupt my words? Yeah, he's going to. He's going to do that more and more and more. And Karen, I want to tell you right now that your children are going to be nurtured with encouragement and building and edification, and a lot of it's going to be mommy knowledge. A lot of it's going to be mommy knowledge, and it's going to be maternal nurturing. But I want to tell you, because of your heart for God, there is going to be times when you're giving those two precious influencers of the globe some help, and your sentence structure is going to have the Spirit of the living God's wisdom and knowledge come in to the nurturing of that children, and that is going to be what flourishes those children to places where no other kids could go, but what God gives you for those babies. Hallelujah! But you're here right now, and you say, you know what, I want you to bow your head with me right now. It's not your job to get you clean enough to be used of God. It's not your job. That's God's job. Your job is to hate your iniquity and hate your sin and hate your compromise and hate your cold heart and hate your distance from the Lord. If you're here right now and you say, I just want to get things right with God. I'm not really interested in being this supernatural delivery agent right now. I just want to get things right with God, and I need to be forgiven. I want to get closer to God today. I'm not right with God, and I want to get right. I want you to humble yourself. It all starts with humility. Augustine said, the virtue of all virtues is humility. Until you get humility right, you can't have the others. If you're here right now and you'll humble yourself and say, I'm not right with God, but I need to be forgiven by the blood of Jesus, I want you to humble yourself at the count of three and raise your hand. One, two, three. Just raise your hand. Thank you. Raise your hand right now. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for wiping your eye. I want to say you've got a great chapter ahead. Now let's pray. Everybody prayed this prayer with these people. About six people raised their hand. Pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I can't fix myself. I can't wash away my mess. I can't clean up my own heart. But the blood of Jesus can. I'm so sorry for being so blinded. I commit my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's celebrate these people that's prayed this prayer. Put your hands together.